Welcome to Infendo Radio, the best Nintendo podcast on the English-speaking internet. This is episode 280. I'm Lewis Pugh, your host, and tonight we have Harrison Milfeld.
Hey, everybody.
And we have returning member Holly Felmuth.
Yeah, it's great to be here. When I saw that on Infendo there was the article, you know, writers wanted, I thought, that'll be easy to get back in, I guess. So give it a shot, and now I'm here.
Very glad you answered the call. Tonight's show is going to be split into three main sections, as per usual. We're going to start off talking about what we've all been playing. There's a section dedicated towards Nintendo news, which is mainly going to focus on the two most recent Nintendo Directs. And finally, we have our main feature, which is about indie games on the Wii U. Okay, to start what we've been playing, would you like to kick things off, Harrison?
Yes, I would. Since we talked quite a bit about Pikmin in our last podcast and a lot of innuendos that we won't go into right now, which I'm sure got a bit of a response out of the fan community, but that tends to happen when you're kind of almost live on a podcast. But downloaded Pikmin 3, and I just recently beat it. And Lewis, by the way, I know that you just put a review out for it right now, a very good one, by the way, which kind of covered my, you know, the pros and both cons of the game as well. And I mean, I wasn't sure if I was overly excited as much as you were. I mean, maybe, I mean, you gave it, what was it, a 9 out of 10?
I did. I gave it a very high score.
Just to start off, I have not played Bingo Battle at all on the game right now. I have yet to find somebody else to play it with. And like we said last week, I had thought about trying to get my sister or my older brother to play it as well, but given the time constraints, it would have to require, like you said, about 10 minutes of explaining what this game is about and what's going on, because it's like, oh, the bingo aspect. And like I said, it's first question's like, what are these? Oh, these are Pikmin. You pick them off the ground and all this. And then, I don't know, I feel like I lose them after about the first like minute or so of the conversation. But I beat Pikmin about last week. Just a general impression out of all of it, whatever, is I really did wish this game came out probably when the Wii U would first launch. It seemed like one of those strong titles, really, to showcase both the hardware and, you know, just the capabilities of, like, the Wii U gamepad. Be it, you know, we know with the Wii U gamepad right now, it's trying to get around the fact that it just being a second screen and just being used for your maps. But in the case of this, for the first few hours that I was playing it, I couldn't help but smile throughout the entire game. I mean, it's maybe something that dealing with the, you know, all the flora around me, you know, and commanding just all these hundreds of Pikmin. This brought me back my love for this series, you know, since it's been almost 10 years since the last time I played Pikmin 2. Compared to its other predecessors, yeah, I do believe this is the best one out of the three titles. I was really kind of just amazed at, like, you know, this really showed off Nintendo's first foray into, you know, HD gaming. And, of course, we've known that, you know, Nintendo, when developing, you know, finally HD, HD games, it took them by surprise, and how hard it was to, you know, actually develop and going from this from standard definition to HD. As far as throughout the entirety of the game, the only problem I could see with this, though, well, two problems to be exact, is the day cycle. I felt like, you know, when I'm trying to do different tasks, be it, like, you know, finding, like, going to, like, the my objective point, be it, like going to, like, a signal, which the map indicates where you're supposed to go to, you know, to progress the story, or even trying to get fruit. Which, by the way, when you collect fruit throughout the game, one thing I really kind of get annoyed with, whatever, is when you see your new fruit, do I really have to see them being put into the jars every single time? I feel like I should just skip through this. I'm like, okay, I get it. It was worse when I played, what was the name? It was the boss that was in the sand. I can't think of the name. All these Pikmin creature names, whatever, as creative as they are, I can't even remember them. I mean, Metroid bosses and Zelda bosses, you know, as weird, like, odd as those are, I can remember them. But these Pikmin bosses, not so much. And by the way, they're creatively designed as well, even though technically they're supposed to be creatures here on Earth right now, as far as, like, you know, an ant-sized view. And I would, you know, turn white if I ever saw something like that in my yard to speak, whatever, but...
But yes, was this the boss which dropped the melon?
Yes, the watermelon.
Oh, different chunks.
Yes, and which, by the way, I tried to beat these bosses, whatever, with a good amount of time left on the day cycle, which I said is, you know, it goes by way too fast. I feel like it would benefit maybe about 5 more minutes on there, because there are so many times when, if the day cycle ends, your fruit is left in the same place, but the boss which you defeat, you know, if you want to gain, you know, sprout more Pikmin, it's gone, like, after the day. during boss battles, I was seeing myself, you know, battling it for near the end of the day and just, like, going out of the area and then going to finish it off, which, thankfully, you know, it does not regenerate its health. And if that was the case, whatever, for this one, I probably would have lowered the score of this game maybe a point or point and a half because of seeing how difficult it could have got. But that boss in particular, it took so many Pikmin just to carry that thing up there. I'm like, okay, I'll throw in around, like, what was it? It needed 20 or 25 Pikmin. I threw about, like, 35 on it. And yet they carried it so slowly to the ship. I'm thinking, like, hurry up. The day's about to end right now.
Yeah, the thing is, I lost so many Pikmin in that particular boss fight.
The one I lost a lot in... Oh, what was it? It was the second-to-last boss, the one that was the largest one in the game, which, when you... it was kind of a combination of both, like, you know, yeah, rock and just organics. And once you had it down, whatever, you had to watch out for its tongue, which would come off, like, the top of its head. And, yeah, I lost a lot in the process of that, whatever, because it took me a while how to put my strategy into it. But, jeez, there were so many instances where I'm losing so many Pikmin, and yet taps is playing in my head as I'm like, they were good soldiers. Wow. But, I did like the internet story, whatever, just revolving around bringing back these old characters such as Louis and, you know, Olimar. And by the way, you've seen Despicable Me, haven't you, Louis, Holly?
I haven't, actually. I'm keep getting bugged to see the second film.
If you've seen the ads, you know, the little...
The Minions.
The Minions, yeah. The language that which, you know, Brittany, Alf, and Charlie speak... It feels like it's a dumbed-down version of, you know, how the Minions speak. That's the first thing that popped in my head.
I can't say I've put the connection together, but I've only seen the trailers. I wouldn't necessarily have.
If you do, just look it up. I mean, it's one of those movies out there, whatever. I mean, I feel like the non-Pixar, computer-animated film that is probably one of my favorite out there today.
I did like the actual the character they put to the main cast. On the original games, Olimar and Louis just felt like player characters, whereas these trio of captains actually have a personality each, and they have little conversations, and they have little, you know, witty banter between each other. And you do kind of warm up to them, even though not much is really going on in the story, apart from the initial, you need to get to the planet and gather as many fruits as you can. There's an odd twist near the end of the game, but beyond that, it's pretty much as the game's out to be.
You mean the twist where Louis steals their juice?
Oh, nice,
which, by the way,
nice.
this is a spoiler edition.
I think we're safe with Pikmin, to be fair.
Yeah, we are. I mean, this is not like I'm spoiling The Last of Us right now, which a friend of mine did for me. And I was traumatized by it, whatever, but also mad at the same time. But I digress. And you saw my screen cap. I saw a post on the Miiverse, and it was just related to the whole steroid allegations in baseball right now. And I posted that scene where it showed Brittany saying, like, that's not all. He's ran off with our juice. I'm like, and I mentioned something like, I wonder if the culprit's one of these baseball players. And I think I got negative flack for that, saying, like, oh, that's a low blow. I'm like, I'm sorry, that screen cap there, whatever, how mad they are. And with that lettering, the dialogue box up there, I just couldn't help but just chuckle.
Yeah.
Overall experience, I mean, aside from the Dane cycle being a little bit low and, you know, I felt this game was a little bit more short. I mean, not as short as the first Pikmin, but a little bit shorter than the second. And that was the one thing I kind of wished it was a game that kind of... I mean, I'm going back getting all, like, 100% getting the fruit. And I know that there's another quest, a thing you have to get these data files, which reveal, like, numbers. Have you gotten all those yet, exactly? Or are there supposed to be, like, an Easter egg at the end?
Yeah, I've not got them, actually. I still got to go back to get them, and... I think there's a video with Shigeru Miyamoto explaining how you use your digits you've found, but I...
Free eShop points?
That'd be a great prize, wouldn't it, for a Easter egg? But yeah, I'm not sure what the prize is when you do find them, and no, I've not found them yet, but I am going to go back and get them.
It's either that, or it's probably, like, just going to hint at, you know, Miyamoto's next original IP or something like that. I mean, if that's the case, I mean, that's... really king of Easter eggs lately for when it comes to Nintendo games. But, yeah, I mean, overall experience that I had with Pikmin, I mean, yeah, I was smiling throughout whatever. I mean, like, just the way it controlled. I mean, and I controlled it all the way through and being just on the gamepad. I mean, the only control issue I could have with it is that when you're using the dodge issue, control option, which is mapped to the D-pad, and, of course, you know, you're controlling, you know, your squad of Pikmin and with the left analog stick, and, of course, the camera with the right. And anytime when I'm seeing myself in a boss battle or with a mini-boss battle and I'm trying to dodge my Pikmin from, you know, not being massacred, you know, it can be a bit of a little frustrating as far as, like, just to take my arm, like, my thumb away from, like, you know, the left, that control stick and then push D just to dodge them. That was the case that I felt like I could see why people really prefer just the Wiimote and Nunchuck control option.
Yeah, the other thing I found, because I did play a majority of the game on the gamepad, I had some trouble at first hitting the aerial creatures. So anything flying, I was struggling to hit.
That's right, yeah, that's same with me. I mean,
I tried it on the Wii Remote, and it was absolutely fine, and then I realised on the gamepads, you have to actually point at the creature and not their shadows, which was, I thought, was a bit counterintuitive to what you're doing in the rest of the game.
Yeah, there's so many times like that. Like, if I'm throwing something like that, like if it's flying, and then, of course, they're picking up Pikmin and putting them back in the ground, which I'm like, okay, thank you, you're not killing them. The control option of the gamepad is not bad, but they're a bit of a, like, it's a bit of a frustration that comes in with them when you're trying to do options like dodge or to use the spicy essence, which, of course, makes your Pikmin, you know, a little bit more feisty. And, end of the day, I mean, this is, I say at this point right now, it's the best game on the Wii U at the moment.
Yeah, and I think it's easy to do it, and I think a lot of people wouldn't have played it. The multiplayer in the game is so good. You wouldn't expect it from Pikmin, but it's got a lot of different stages in it, and there is quite a deep level of strategy.
And it is one of those games. I mean, obviously there's going to be games coming out this fall that may change my opinion as the best game of the Wii U at the moment, but, you know, given how that's dearth of its library right now, but... I mean, I would put my score near yours. I give Pikmin an 8.5 out of 10. And that's just from... What I take away from it is that it's too short. The day-night life cycle can be, you know... makes it a little bit hard for you to struggle and plan your day as far as getting fruit or defeating bosses. And, you know, just some minor control complaints. Plus, I never really split up my teammates that much to do, like, certain tasks. Because... one thing that could have really been better if there was an option where these NPCs could actually go out on their own to the nearest fruit, whatever, and control them up, you know, and control them as well.
Yeah.
But there were so many options, so I was just not using that option a lot, unless I had to get to a different area where I had to throw a team, like one of my teammates. But it's Pikmin 3, yeah. If you have a Wii U right now, please pick this up.
Okay, Holly, do you fancy taking on the next role in the What We've Been Playing?
Yeah, sure. I haven't been talking a lot, but that's actually because I have never played a Pikmin game in my life. I know it's probably...
And I spoiled everything for you in 3, dang.
No, it's all right. I don't know, it's probably a sin to have gone so long without playing a Pikmin game. And, you know, after what you guys have said, I think that I can't wait any longer. I'll probably get it as soon as I possibly can.
To be fair, from the sales of the series, I'm not awfully surprised.
It hasn't sold underwhelmingly. It's, I mean, I remember the first one sold around 1 million copies.
True, but from the main Nintendo IPs, it kind of does fit in there, but there is a distinct distance in sales figures between, say, that and I'm not sure what you would class the next Nintendo franchise, possibly something like Star Fox.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess. Maybe Metroid? I don't know.
Yeah. There's a big sales jump between Pikmin and either of those two.
Metroid is more of like what I like to call a cursed franchise. It's a series that's known for critical acclaim, but when in terms of financial, like being a financially successful franchise, it's had a lot of ups, like a lot of more downs than ups. I mean, the only exception I could see with that is the first Metroid Prime and the handheld titles, because I mean, this is a series that gets so much good, like, you know, like so many great reviews across the board, yet it doesn't sell as much as, like, you know, Nintendo's other properties.
Yeah, it's a niche audience, Metroid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's my favorite franchise out there, but hopefully that changes when Metroid Wii U is announced in the near future.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, I've been crossing them ever since for the last 3 years, so...
Sorry, I'll let Holly step in a moment. So let's say your excitement for Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze must have been ecstatic then, when you heard Retro Studios hard at work on that.
I love the Donkey Kong Country Returns. It just, when Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze was announced, the only thing, I was both happy and both disappointed. I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy this game, but it's like, I don't want this now. I mean, it's just showing basically, you know, and I was disappointed that when I heard that Retro is only working at one title at a time, not like multiple ones, and that'll at least disappoint me a little bit. But, you know, I mean, I'm confident that Retro is going to make Tropical Freeze probably another... great entry in the Donkey Kong series.
Yeah, it was rather bittersweet to hear about that one. Well, I guess a game that I've been really trying to focus on lately is it's called Trine 2. And Trine 2, it's kind of unlike anything else that I've ever played. I mean, it's got a pretty basic, you know, motif behind it. It's just like a puzzle game with, you know, fantasy elements in it. And that's what I thought it was before I got it. And, you know, it pretty much lived up to that. But the puzzle solving and the gameplay itself is actually really unique, especially compared to what I'm used to. When I thought about this game, I thought, like, it's going to be a little bit like Zelda, right? Puzzle solving, fantasy world. So like a dumbed down Zelda, I guess. But the puzzle solving in Trine 2 versus like any Zelda game is actually really extraordinarily different. In Trine 2, puzzle solving is not at all straightforward like it is in, you know, Zelda games. And really, there's no bad thing about the straightforwardness of Zelda, and there's nothing bad about the, I don't know, not straightforwardness about Trine 2. It's been a really interesting experience to play it because you have these three characters. Each of them has certain abilities. You've got the thief who can shoot, you know, her bow and arrow and grapple across gaps and things like that. You have the more combat-heavy knight who can swing a sword, hold a shield, swing a hammer even. And then you've got the wizard who can conjure boxes out of midair, and he can move certain items, including his boxes. And I have actually found that one of the weaknesses of the game is that I really lean toward the wizard and his, you know, boxes. You can upgrade your hero's abilities, and you can make it so that he has more than, you know, the ability to conjure more than one box. And I just find myself, you know, in almost every situation using boxes in some way. And I won't use the knight, or I won't use the thief. And so it's kind of a weakness, but at the same time, it's actually a really fantastic game. In addition to, you know, some really great puzzles solving gameplay, it has some really incredible graphical nuances and things like that. And as Lewis and I have actually just figured out, the multiplayer is not that bad either. It's kind of interesting in that each character can walk right through each other. And so it's not like New Super Mario Bros. Where you can pick each other up and run into each other and things like that.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps in this game. I know some of the puzzles we were trying to solve involve, you know, creating blocks or, you know, trying to move hypes around with the wizard's magic. And the additional objects still getting created were, you know, also potentially things which could get in your way. So at least eliminating characters bumping into each other is a good thing.
Yeah, some of the spaces are really cramped too, and so that helps.
Yeah, I'm glad I did get to play it multiplayer, because it lets you see how it was designed with up to three players in mind. I mean, it works really well as a single player game and swapping between the characters. You know, you can start doing more than one thing at a time in multiplayer. So if someone's the wizard, they can be holding up a block while another character can, you know, be running and jumping on top of the block and, you know, onto something else, when you can't do that sort of thing on the single player game. So it's good to see that there are so many different possibilities to, you know, solve certain different puzzles. So yeah, it is interesting how it's a more open physics-based puzzle game compared to kind of the, as you're comparing it to Zelda, you know, the rigid, there is basically one way to solve this puzzle, and we're going to try and direct you to figure out what that is.
Yeah.
Now, this game, I mean, you were mentioning, talk about Zelda, you're saying, does this game kind of borrow like a bit of elements from the Zelda franchise, or is it more of like a head nod to it?
I feel like it does. I feel like, though, almost any, like, adventure game with puzzle elements probably borrows from Zelda. I definitely think it does. It differs from Zelda, as I've said, in that it's more open in its puzzle solving.
I say that any game that involves block pushing goes a lot to Zelda.
It's a really good game, and actually, I think until sometime in September, it's currently got a really amazing discount, at least in the United States, for, like, I don't know, $8 as opposed to $20. I got it back when it was 20, but if you don't already have Trine 2 for your Wii U, get it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, $8 for that game is fantastic.
Yeah, I did the same. I'm not sure what the exact discount is, but there is a big discount currently, at least in the UK shop. I'm not sure that accounts for all of Europe. So if you live in Europe as well and you don't own Trine 2 yet, I'd heavily recommend it, whether you can play it multiplayer or not. It is a fun physics-based platforming game where you swap characters around.
Yeah, highly recommended from me anyway.
Okay. Last Thursday, I had a delivery from Amazon UK delivering me the wonderful 101.
Yay!
Yeah. You know, us lucky Brits again have managed to steal a game before you guys. I mean, it was Pitman 3 before and now Wonderful 101.
Hey, this is good for the podcast as well. We're getting a fresh look at the game right now. I mean, I know reviews have already kind of started to trickle out lately, but first Pikmin 3, now this. I mean, but then again, Nintendo has known that they really want to try and do major worldwide releases on all their titles, I think, in the future, but I don't know, keep this going. I mean, you get us anticipated for each of these titles.
Wonderful 101 is not quite the game I was expecting, for all the right reasons. I thought it was going to have more similar to the last game I was playing, Pikmin 3. But beyond the fact that you have a group of 100 characters, and that's more of just a visual representation in this game, the games are absolutely completely different beasts. While Pikmin 3 is a strategy game, this is a action game, and more in the sense of something like Bayonetta or Devil May Cry. The actual premise is that you have 100 heroes who have to team up to destroy this alien force which has come to Earth and plans to destroy it. So what you actually do is you basically are controlling the leader and the rest just follow you. And you can swap between the different heroes by drawing their symbol on the Wii U gamepad. And it also does have the Pro Controller support, and you can kind of draw with the right analog stick, which I haven't played that as much, so it seems a bit finicky, but it might be something if you use it for a bit, you get used to it. But you swap between these heroes because they all have their own different abilities, and that's used for both combat and for puzzle solving. So I guess in some ways it's got some things in common with the platform we're trying to, we're just discussing. But the main difference here is its focus on the action gameplay, combating enemies and having these set piece scenes where you use the different heroes in different ways to either navigate to a certain area or to destroy a boss. Now, because I haven't actually mentioned yet, the game is actually made by Platinum Games and published by Nintendo. And the director is Hideki Kamiya, who also is involved in games like Bayonetta, Okami, Beautiful Joe, and back in Capcom also had his hand in the Resident Evil franchise. So it's got a very strong lineage. The game itself, I jumped straight onto normal difficulty, which is the hardest mode you can kind of start. I think it's like very easy, easy and normal. And it did have a steep learning curve. But once you've kind of got used to the different systems, the game does kind of ease up on you. But there's always this kind of consistent pace. The graphic style is a more of a cartoony look. But because of the camera is kind of so far back from the action and the 100 people only take up a small percentage of your screen, the graphics look incredibly sharp. And what they can do is they can throw in some of these absolutely huge bosses. It's almost like it's this in-game joke because they get bigger and bigger. And at the point where I am now, there are like bosses the size of skyscrapers. And the game does a very good job in just kind of portraying like the size difference between you and just setting up these boss battles. The other thing I should probably mention is actually it's a very funny game.
Isn't it dialogue or just its story?
Bit of both, really. I mean, it's you can tell from the trailers it's obviously all very, you know, tongue-in-cheek. It's riffing off the old comic and superhero parodies. It seems a bit of a balance between like American superheroes and like the Japanese monster type fiction. The main kind of heroes, so like one the red, and well, they're all different colours, one the red, one the green, one the blue. They're all from different parts of the world, so they all got these funny accents. And some of them, you know, like each other, and some of them have grudges against each other. And it'll be like in the midst of a boss battle, people start having an argument, or they'll just come out with these great one-liners. And it's a generally funny game, which you can't say about a lot of games, really.
Too true.
I actually think they should have shown off more of this sort of side of the game more pre-release, because from the kind of the viewings of it because it's been at a couple of E3s, all the footage they've shown, it's at least from my opinion, it didn't look super exciting. It looked like an interesting concept, but it seemed more about, you know, moving this group and, you know, just taking out one enemy after another. But the game it's so kind of cinematic, and it keeps this pace up. Like every 5-10 minutes something new will happen. It will chuck something new at you. It keeps you on your toes. One thing I haven't yet played, although I will hopefully later on this week, I'm not sure how it's going to work either, but this game has an up to 5 players co-op mode.
Yeah, how would that...
I don't know. I'm kind of dreading if it lets you have an army each, because it's mad already. The game's madness in one-player mode, so I'm not sure how it's going to work with up to five players. But to actually play the game, it's just the Wii gamepad and Pro controllers only. I don't think there's any like Wii remotes or other controllers which are compatible.
So it's like co-op multiplayer, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's a co-op mode, but I don't have any further details on it. I haven't been able to find any footage of this. So I'm going to have to just play it for myself and report back, I think, on this one.
So you think, I don't know, can you go through any mission that you want, like multiplayer?
It is a separate mode. You can't play like the main game up to five players. So it's own separate kind of mode in little silo. So I'm not sure if you do choose missions you unlock or they're just their own separate things. But it's a five-player co-op for the game.
Well, that'll be interesting to learn more about.
Yeah, and it's going to have that odd...
Fights over the gamepad. I want it. No.
So yeah, I don't know if the person with the gamepad has a different role or not, but it may not, because you can play the main game with either controller. The other thing I should probably mention about the game is its kind of main thing is using these Unite morphs for the different characters. So the main guy won the red, who you've obviously probably seen, because he's the guy at the front of the box. Basically, his thing, if you draw a circle on the screen, it activates his power, which is called the Unite Fist. Although you can just use that, you know, the punch dudes. It also can be used to, like, turn very big handles or levers and such. But a lot of cutscenes also have these kind of quick time events, which, although this sounds dreadful on paper, basically you have quick time events which ask you to draw the gesture or the, you know, the symbol for that character. But the accuracy is very good. And if you do get it wrong, you know, you've got your chance to draw it a second or a third time. It's not too bad, but it really puts you in the moment. So one, the red has this fist, so you can punch dudes, you can turn things, you can, like, pull things if needed. One, the blue has a sword, so the combat reasons for a sword are quite self-explanatory. But you can also use it as, like, a giant key in a lock. Guy who has a Unite gun is a long-range weapon, and that's obviously used quite often in the quick time events as well. They all seem to be fairly balanced in combat. They're all quite fun to use, and none of them seem awfully flawed. I mean, apart from obviously the gun has its obvious, you know, balance issues where it's, you know, good against things far away and not great against things up close. But the rest you can just kind of swap around depending on your playstyle. So yeah, I think I'm about 7 hours into this game now, and it's taken me on this absolutely roller coaster of a ride, and it's added some story elements in there I wasn't quite expecting, and I'm really liking where this game's taking me so far, and it's not looking like it's going to slow down anytime soon.
How is it controlling-wise, I mean, on the gamepad? One thing I've heard from the earlier reviews is that it's really hard as far as, like, when you're doing the Unite forms and you have to draw them onto, like, the gamepad, that there are several instances where it doesn't respond as well.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird comment. I mean, I struggled a bit initially, so when I say this game does have a learning curve, because it does ask... You know, it does, you know, expect a lot of you out of the gate, and there are, like, a lot of different, you know, non-conventional systems you got to use. At first, I was just trying to get my head around, you know, maneuvering the group around, and because you can do a normal attack, which is you're the guy who's the leader. So if you have the sword out, you'll be swinging the sword. And there's a team attack where everyone just kind of scrambles, a bit Pip-Mini style. And yeah, the swap between the characters, you don't use it with a button prompt. You draw the symbol. Yeah, you know, the symbols are really quite memorable. I've never once, when it's, you know, chucked out, oh, you know, Unite gun, I've never had to think, oh, which one was gun? They're all very simple shapes. So, like, the gun is just like a right angle, and the whip is a squiggly line, the hammer is like a lollipop shape. They're all very simple to remember, and it picks them up mostly on the first time every time. But it seems fairly lenient. The moments you absolutely need to that particular item out, you do have time to, you know, try a second or third time if you do absolutely screw it up. Yeah, once you've played it for between half an hour and an hour, you get used to the system, and it's fine in my book. All the other controls are pretty standard. You run around the left stick. I think it's A for standard attacks, X for the team attacks. It's all fairly standard apart from that. The only other thing is, really, you can draw circles on the bottom to group round civilians. Well, it doesn't have to be a circle, but if you kind of hoop round them, any civilians you catch in that hoop will turn into temporary heroes. But that's not a gesture you need to be picky about. You're just grouping around the people which you can see on your map.
Aside from the problems that I've heard from control and both its, like, you know, range of its difficulty, I mean, like you said, I mean, one thing we get from it is the fact that, like, oh, it has a lot to owe to Pikmin 3, but like you said, this is more of an action-oriented title.
Oh, it's very action-heavy, yeah. I was surprised how action-y it was. I thought it was just going to be, you know, it's going to, you know, a bit puzzly, a bit action on the side, a bit strategy here and there. But no, this is definitely an action game when the other elements are kind of added on top of that.
And yet you guys get them first, and now we have to wait.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, it's out here and it's out in Japan, but it hasn't been selling great, which isn't good. Yeah, it's one of these stories, unfortunately. As I'm saying, this is an absolutely fantastic game. However, I found out these facts, you know, just for the show. In the UK, it came in the 22nd slot of the all format charts. But and for whatever this means, it was still top of the Wii U charts, but it was 22nd overall. There were obviously a few big hitters coming out this last week, including things like Disney Infinity, which was across all systems, including Nintendo systems. But I couldn't imagine there would have been a huge overlap between that and this game's potential market. This seems quite a hardcore Nintendo game. Or if you're a fan of Platinum Games work.
I hope this doesn't, you know, is not like a good indicator as far as like when it comes to when Platinum Games other, you know, Wii U exclusive tie with Bayonetta 2.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think given that this one's an original IP and that one's instead like, you know, or like a sequel, so I mean, I hopefully this doesn't transfer over.
Yeah, I think Bayonetta 2 is going to do a lot better. I mean, it's coming out later anyway, so there'll be more Wii U units out there. I mean, for one, it's not a new IP, so it's a series people are familiar with, and it was critically acclaimed, the original, so people aren't so wary jumping into it. And second of all, it's just kind of got that sex appeal, Bayonetta. I think people, even who haven't heard of the first one, will give it a second chance on the shelf, as it were, just because it's, you know, it's got this sexy female hero on the cover. Opposed to these, I mean, at the face of it, they're very generic looking superheroes before you play the game. But when you do, you realize they do play on that fact, and they all have this, you know, really good personality and humor to them. Unfortunately, the other thing is it's also come out in Japan since, but it's also not doing very well there either.
That's odd, given the subject matter on there. It's just, I mean, very Japanese, but you would think that would sell well there.
Yeah, I mean, the in quotes official reports haven't come in, but a more localized sales figure put it roughly in the same sort of spot. Well, definitely not in the top 10, but more around the 20 mark. It might be a bit higher than that. Not great for a Wii U exclusive game by a developer of this caliber. And it is a very good game, which is the concerning thing. So yeah, hopefully it's going to do a lot better in America. I mean, America does have this, you know, strong superhero culture, or at least is my understanding.
Oh yeah, we do. I mean, given these recent slew of superhero films we've been subjected to the last 5 to 6 years, and the box office receipts, yeah, we do love our superheroes.
So yeah, so September 15th is the date for America. Wonderful 101. So moving on now to the Nintendo news, we've actually had two Nintendo Directs since we last spoke. They were fairly back-to-back, there's only a couple of days between them. So the first Nintendo Direct we had was focusing generally on 3DS and Wii U. And Mr. Iwata opened with, first, was actually Sonic Lost World. To use his own phrase himself, the game features massive mind-bending courses. However, I thought while I was watching it, it still looks very much like Mario Galaxy. Not that I'm going to complain.
I don't as well. That was the first impression I got when I saw the first trailer. And I was like, you know, if it's like Mario Galaxy, I have no qualms whatsoever.
Yeah, and I thought when they're the more, you know, the later trailers might steer away from that direction, but no, watching this Nintendo Direct again, it looked very much like how the initial Mario Galaxy trailers were. So yeah, they showed off some of the new color powers, which, did anyone actually play Sonic Colors?
I played it a little bit. I didn't finish it, but I did.
I didn't play it.
I, on the other hand, have not touched a Sonic game since, well, yeah, unfortunately, Shadow the Hedgehog, which, of course, that I think killed the Sonic franchise for me. Yeah, the first 10-15 minutes of that game, when I'm just sitting there just questioning, I'm like, Sonic the Hedgehog, but Shadow, but with guns.
Yeah.
I guess this works. I don't know. I rented it and I never had any urge to beat it again. Yeah. So, or to actually finish it.
I think what's the only thing which is more remarkable than that is that, you know, it's arguable that the series went even further downhill after introducing guns to the series. So, Holly, what did you think of the color powers in Sonic Colors? Do you think they add much to the game, or?
Yeah, they're kind of like the mushroom, the super mushroom of the Sonic world, I guess. You know?
So that were they kind of like the sort of power-ups you would find in the Mario Bros. Series?
A little bit. Ones that stick out to me, I don't know, they're pretty generic, actually. There's one where you can, like, you know, dig through the ground, and one that lets you fly through the air really crazy. But I actually, growing up, I didn't play very much Sonic at all, and so coming into Colors, I don't know, I didn't have a lot of Sonic background, but I actually really enjoyed the game as far as I got through it anyway. It was just a rental, and so didn't have that much time with it. It's got, you know, just great gameplay. And so as far as Sonic goes, Colors, I think, is a pretty good game. And so I can't imagine that Lost World will be all that bad.
Yeah, no, I did hear good things about Sonic Colors, and it was, you know, it's a Wii exclusive. You mentioned the drilling one and the flying abilities. These ones were confirmed in this direct for Sonic Lost World, and the drill kind of looks a bit similar to what they drew in Galaxy 2, but it seems you can control it. It seems that you're kind of Sonic in the normal 3D gameplay, and you activate the drill, and the game goes side view, again kind of like the drill in Galaxy 2. But when you're in this kind of side view of the Earth and you're drilling down, it seems you can kind of draw your own path, so you can, I guess, pop out in different parts of the Earth. And if they, you know, mix that with the fact that there are, you know, curved worlds, that could be a very cool power for certain puzzle solving, just exploration.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree totally.
Yeah, I hope they make the most of that one. The other one I'm not so sure about. It seems a bit gimmicky, but they might be able to do some cool things with it, which is the flying one. Was that used well in Colors?
Yeah, it was pretty generic. And controlling it was a little bit wonky. It kind of takes a little getting used to. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but...
Yeah. I'm not sure, was it? I mean, it almost looked wonky in this trailer, which isn't a good sign if that is the case. Knowing that this is, you know, a professionally put together trailer for this game. There was another little bit of news which came out of this about Sonic Lost World, and it's the connectivity between it, as in the Wii U version, and the 3DS version. And I think this is a rare instinct of this happening. But what you can do on the 3DS version, you can create a RC vehicle, but you can basically play with that on the Wii U version. And it looks like the person with the 3DS is kind of in like an assist mode. So player one is playing the game normally as Sonic, and player two is on their 3DS controlling this remote control helicopter, which can, you know, bash into enemies, or it can, I'm not really sure what else it can do, can possibly pick Sonic up and move him around, so you can cooperate in that type of way. So no, I didn't think these two games were going to have any sort of connectivity features, and it's quite interesting seeing, you know, Sega do this before Nintendo did. I mean, Nintendo didn't do anything like this with, you know, the two Mario Bros. Games, which came out fairly similar to each other.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited about the, you know, connection that you can have between the 3DS version and the Wii U version, because I've been daydreaming about, you know, some kind of connectivity between the Wii U and 3DS version of Super Smash Bros. Like, I really want to see, in future releases.
There's definitely something there, but they're not telling us what yet.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn about whatever that is.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely aboard for some, you know, Smash Bros. Speculation at any point.
Just as long as they don't reveal every single character like they did with Brawl, I'll be happy.
Oh, yes.
Keep the surprises to a minimum.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we may have some bad news later for you, Harrison. But, but I digress. The next thing they talked about was Rayman Legends. Mostly they were recapping on things we know. They showed good gameplay trailers. And they finished off their Rayman Legends piece, showing some exclusive costumes for Rayman and Globox, which is Mario and Luigi costumes. I'm not sure it quite makes the wait worth it, but it's quite fun to see them dressed up as the Mario Bros. I'm not sure if the other systems are getting, you know, the system exclusives.
They're not getting as well touchscreen controls, which the game was designed around. Yeah. So there's that.
If I'm being a stickler, there is a Vita version out there, which I guess probably has touchscreen controls. However, no 3DS version.
I don't know. That's maybe it has to deal with the fact that they're transferring this over to the 3DS. I mean, how did Origins look in a 3DS?
Oh, not great, to be fair.
There you go. Then there you...
It was functional graphics on the 3DS.
I think that might be the reason then. I don't know. That, or I don't know if it sold as well. Again, Origins did not sell as well, as expected. I mean, it was critically, you know, praised, and what was it, like 3 weeks after its release, I remember seeing it at Toys R Us or Walmart up for $20.
So now I think the 3DS version came out like absolutely ages after the original.
It was like a year, I think, afterwards.
Yeah. See, that probably didn't help, to be fair. Yeah, I guess porting it to the Vita, I imagine, is a lot simpler process than porting something to a 3DS.
The review copies are already out. I know that IGN reviewed it and gave it a 9.5.
Yeah, because it comes out September 3rd in America.
You are correct.
And it comes out over... I think we beat you again in this one, actually. I think it's just by a day. But I think
Europeans
it comes out...
beating us right now with the game releases.
I think it's the 29th, either the 29th or the 30th over here. Only by a couple of days, but I'll take it.
Hey, anything given how this game, I should have been playing this game back in February. I really believe I should have been playing this game back then.
Yeah, actually saying that, I don't think we've really talked about this on the show. So I open this up to both of you. Have either of you played the Challengers app?
I have not.
Have you ever downloaded it?
I never did. Oh, man. I was always just too preoccupied with all my different eShop titles. I just never got around to it.
I was just looking through my... When I first got my Wii, was looking through the eShop for, you know, interesting-looking things. And I saw that, and I thought, Challenges app, what is this? And it said free, so I downloaded it, and it was like a full-blown demo. And I've actually really, really been enjoying it.
It's really good.
Yeah, a lot of fun. The music level in particular, I like to show that off to people. I'll just have them come over and be like, watch me play this. It's so cool.
Absolutely. Great bit. So that's the third of the single player levels you unlock, I think.
I think there's a couple other levels that are in that same vein as well, with different licensed music.
Yeah, so that's gonna be great going for the actual game. That was kind of like the initial demo. Those three things, the Challenges app is like that, as well as it has these daily and weekly challenges. Now, I haven't been playing it that frequently anymore, but there was a time where I was checking it daily. It would reward you for coming back. It would tell you if you got a certain medal, if you placed that a certain bit on the board, then you would get rewarded so many points, and you could unlock costumes. You could unlock these like higher rank daily and weekly challenges. There was a lot of content for this free app. I'm gonna have to give Ubisoft some props there. Admittedly, they did delay our precious Rayman to make it multi-platform. Looking back at the actual circumstances with the low sales of the Wii U and the fact that it does seem the Wii U is going to be the prominent platform for this game, and they gave us this Challenges app, I personally don't have any bad blood for Ubisoft. I know it is still a very sore subject in the Nintendo gaming community that it was pulled back, especially when we didn't have many games to play. But I am very excited for Rayman Legends. It seems quite odd now, just the amount of games, either downloaded or not, which are just coming out. I'm just thinking, I'm at a point where I'm going to be either playing games back-to-back, or I'm going to have an overlap, or I'm going to have to, delay a purchase of a Wii U game because I'm too busy playing stuff, which seems unreal just going back a couple of months.
We're finally getting more Wii U titles, which is all that matters at the moment right now.
Yeah, and they're good ones, too. If we move on to the next subject, which is a new piece of content which is already available to download. So they had spoken about this before, but this kind of release date kind of came out of nowhere, and this is for Art Academy Sketchpad. So this is the app which initially started on as a 3DS game, and obviously it lets you draw pictures on the gamepad and upload them to its own Miiverse community. And Iwata was saying that the inspiration behind doing this conversion was they saw the beautiful pictures people were creating with the simple Miiverse tools, and they thought if they were creating such good pieces of work with just that standard black pen tool, if they gave them the Art Academy suite, what would people be able to create then? It's good just going onto that community, sorting it by the most popular, seeing what sort of creations people are coming up with. It's absolutely amazing that these things are done on the gamepad. It's an experience you're not really going to get anywhere else.
Yeah, I actually have just about zero artistic ability, but I've gone to the community just to look at the things that people have drawn, and I've probably, given Yaz out to more Art Academy posts than, all of the other communities combined, because they're just so cool.
Yeah, I agree with you there, and also you find some really great people to follow. It makes that kind of activity view on the Miiverse, as exciting as Twitter is. If you're following some really good people which are putting out, decent art, or either of, games they like, or just, things in general, and it is making Miiverse like its own, proper little social community. But it does seem like they're going to open up this app they've already released to at least be enabled for lessons and so on in the future.
I'm going to admit, I have yet still not bought Animal Crossing New Leaf right now. Throw the judgment, judgments away for a little bit, but no, I need to get on that so bad right now.
Are you on Animal Crossing, Holly, on the 3DS?
Yeah, I only just recently got it because I already had the one on Wii, and I thought, okay, being mayor, that's great and all, but I don't know, I need a huge reason to get this game. Actually, it was the release of the Plaza, the Animal Crossing Plaza, that, made me want to get that game. I haven't actually even used it a single time. I have the Plaza downloaded, and I've got, some pictures, I guess, on my game that I could share, but I haven't actually used it at all yet.
Yeah, I was trying to work out what the kind of the business move was for making and launching the Animal Crossing Plaza. We should probably say at this point, this was the next thing they announced in the Nintendo Direct here. Basically, the Animal Crossing Plaza if you haven't heard of it, is a app you can download on the Wii U, not the 3DS. And what it is, it's similar to the Warawara Plaza, but instead of Miis running around, you have the Animal Crossing animals. And they have their own speech bubbles popping up. But what they're generated from is, basically, you can click on any of the animals from the touchscreen, and you can post about that animal, or you can just post about the game in general. But what's quite interesting is, although it's very simplistic and to the point, it's this little plaza, the models for the characters and just kind of the lighting is surprisingly good, and it makes me think, also kind of using this to test some assets out for the Wii U version, which they're going to, launch some point in the future. It's a okay app. I'm not going to call it great. I mean, I think I've only launched it twice, and it's the only extra functionality you can really do is you can take your pictures from your 3DS and put them on the Wii U and you upload them to Miiverse. But it's a bit of a convoluted way because you got to move your SD card over. It seems if you're going to make an app, go through that effort, why not make it for the 3DS at least? I mean, actually, the 3DS even has the picture sharing thing built into the game. I'm struggling to get my head around what this is for. I don't think they need to. Well, I guess I'm wrong because you picked up Animal Crossing for this reason. But because of the limited Wii U audience, I mean, there's more Animal Crossing copies sold than there are Wii U systems because of how crazy it sold in Japan as well as it picking up over here. I don't understand the strategy here, but the fact that you've picked up, I guess, is an extra sale on Nintendo, and perhaps that's been happening around the world.
I kind of was wanting to get it. I just needed the little extra push, and that was it, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, okay. No, that's really good to hear. There was, I think, two extra points made in this particular Nintendo Direct. They confirmed a new Smash character.
Expected, I feel like. I think this was a given.
Or some people probably even assume that they already saw him in footage. But basically they announced Luigi, because it's the year of Luigi, because we're, over halfway through the year of Luigi. they're going to actually tell us that Luigi is in the next Smash Bros. I don't think that surprised anyone. And they didn't even show a video, like an intro video, which would have been quite cool. They just had a couple of screenshots of Luigi.
I would have been happy if it was... What was the character from Paper Mario on Super Paper Mario? Mr. L? Maybe that's one of his alter egos or something like that in the game. I mean, I'd really like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the most unimaginative reveal ever. I mean, because it's the same character as... I mean, obviously it's literally Luigi, but it seems like he's got the same moveset and everything, and it's the style hasn't changed much. I mean, even if they made him Luigi's Mansion Luigi, so he has the Hoover on all the time, and he's got new moves from the 3DS game, that would have been cool. Or at least, put the video out. But yeah, they just trotted out some new screenshots of Smash Bros, because we're all going to lap up any Smash Bros news. The final thing they announced in this Nintendo Direct, which is what I considered the most exciting thing which came out of the entire thing, was a confirmation, and again, this I might be the only person on the crew here who is excited about this, Professor Layton versus Ace Attorney has confirmed to come out for the West. Obviously, we've seen footage from the Japanese version, and about a year later it came out. We still hadn't heard anything, and it was a bit dubious whether this game was going to come out or not, but we finally have some confirmation. So we're getting both Ace Attorney 5 and Phoenix Wright versus Ace Attorney in both America and Europe. Is anyone else excited about this game, or is it just me?
I've mentioned on the podcast several times that it was a series that I barely kind of touched up upon, but for something...
Was that both of them, or...?
But yeah, both of them. I mean, I know. So, yeah, there's an audience for it, I know that, but it's just something that never really kind of caught my attention as far as to kind of pick up. I mean, Layton, on the other hand, yeah, that should have been something that I could have probably... gotten a little bit more into, since I'm quite into, different puzzle titles.
Yeah, actually, they did confirm Layton 6. Not that this is going to surprise anyone, is coming out also to America and Europe. I think it's later on this year, or it could be early next year.
I do believe it. I think it is first quarter of 2014.
Yeah, and that will be the last Professor Layton game, apparently. I'm not sure if they'll go back on their words on that one.
Will they just be getting a new Layton, or is it just, done with the series?
I mean, they're being very specific about it. It's the last game featuring, Professor Herschel Layton, is the wording of it. And they've announced a couple of spin-offs already. There's a current, investigation one on the iOS, which isn't great. And they confirmed another one, this week, called Layton 7, which, again, technically Professor Layton's not in it. It doesn't even look like a Layton game. It's like a iOS game, which will also come out for 3DS, apparently, where you kind of have a bird's-eye view of a town and you solve puzzles. But they didn't actually show any shots of what a puzzle looks like, so we don't know how close to Professor Layton that game will be. But yeah, apparently the sixth one will be the last Professor Layton game. It might be they continue the series with a different character, just will have Luke or someone else, or they could just change their minds and do 7. But yeah, it should be interesting to have that conclusion, because it is a story-driven.
And I'll probably be one of those people who overlooks it again.
So yeah, I think that covers most of the news which came out of at least our first Nintendo Direct. The second one's going to be a lot quicker to go through, because the second Nintendo Direct, which came out, I think it was 2 days after the first, and it was announced during the first one. And it was all around the wonderful 101. And it was a short Nintendo Direct, a mini Direct. Hideki Kamiya opened up the show, the director of 101, and he basically first showed a trailer for the wonderful 101, and then explained, you know, the various different, you know, nuances and characters and just different bits about the game. And it finally finished with this absolutely gigantic trailer. I think it was about 7 minutes long or something. And this was kind of the first time I kind of saw some of the more, you know, story-related bits of this game. And it was that trailer which got me pumped to play the game. And it obviously wasn't long till I was able to play it after that point.
I just saw the trailer. That was it.
Yeah. So that was the big trailer. Was it?
Yeah, the extended trailer that showed all the different, like, you know, Wonder Red, blue, pink, green, black, white. Yeah, something that just kind of at least convinced me a little further more just to pick up the title. But it's strangely odd, especially with this humor, which we just touched up upon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't met Wonder Black yet. I'm not sure how that's going to be handled in the game.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to handle the states. It's basically the same thing when you had the Power Rangers connection, which I'm...
True.
Yeah, where you had... Okay, but obviously with Power Rangers here in the States, whatever, it was just taking old Sentai footage and basically taking footage here from the States that they filmed, which, of course, just made it look like, oh, it was Godzilla meets Saved by the Bell for some reason. And, of course, yes, the Black Ranger was in a black suit and so forth. And, yeah, I mean, it was at that time they did not realize what the hell they were doing.
Yeah, however, you know, times have changed. This could just be a direct reference to, you know, that, basically.
You know, and if that is, I'm fine with that. I mean, if it's just a nod to it, I mean, just the ridiculousness of that.
From what I've played of the game so far, I bet his introduction is going to be so played up and deliberate, and I reckon it's going to be hilarious, but I will report back on how that goes.
Since you have the game early.
Yes, I do. Just rub that in your faces. So, yeah, I mean, there's not really a huge amount to say from that second Nintendo Direct. There wasn't really a huge amount new, like, information we heard. It was just details, really. So what we'll do now, we'll break from the news and we'll move straight on to our headline feature, which is Wii U and Indies. So we're going to have a quick look over the various indie and eShop titles on the Wii U and ones which were announced, at least on the European Nintendo Direct. And we'll just have a general discussion about the state of Nintendo's relationship with indie developers. There was a time where there was no relationship or discussion to be had there. If you were an indie developer, you know, the gates were closed for, you know, yourself working on a Nintendo platform. Times have definitely changed. We were talking earlier about Trine 2, which was a launch title for the Wii U, and that's a fantastic example of an indie developer making great use of the Wii U hardware. It's a game which it was there ready on the eShop for day one. It makes good use of it. It's got off-TV play. You can move things around with a touchscreen. It uses the online infrastructure. You can use various different controllers to play the game. And it's also good to see Nintendo, you know, actually doing things like sales and promotions, because there was a long time when they weren't doing things like this, which is something which would put indie developers off, because they're used to other platforms where you do get sales and discounts and you do get these spurring sales every now and again, compared to what Nintendo was doing with the WiiWare situation, where things would be uploaded for a set price and then never touched again, and they would be just lost in the shop, which was, you know, unmanageable. If you knew the game by name, you could search for it, but beyond that, you would just see like a free games view at a time from the most recent releases. Nintendo has definitely improved things for indie developers in terms of how their eShops laid out, and obviously they've put the right policies and systems in the back end so developers can get on board. Do either of you have any particular what you would call an indie game which is currently out now on the Wii U which you think's a particularly good example?
Well, when you're looking at your list, you do list it's misspelled Duck Takes, by the way, so I guess that's no, but DuckTales Remastered. Yeah, we were discussing this before the podcast, whether WayForward is considered an indie developer, but I said, well, I think it was like after when they released Shantae back in 2000, 2001, they haven't really been kind of considered that since they moved on to bigger projects.
Yes, certainly. When they got Shantae back on Game Boy Color? Yeah, I mean, if you're producing games on physical media, you're probably not indie, are you?
I was going to say, haven't you played DuckTales yet?
Well, the funny story is I have now played DuckTales.
And the theme song stuck in your head for all eternity.
True, but I mean, if you understand the implications of that sentence, I never played DuckTales before.
Wow.
Nor did I see the TV show, nor did I see a film.
Oh, what are you doing to me, Lewis?
I'm not sure if it was something specific to my habits as a kid, or it was just a more regional thing.
I'm trying to think, did it air in the...
It probably did, but I don't think it was a big thing if it did, or it was the wrong time for me, I'm not sure. But yeah, I didn't know it was a thing till I discovered the internet later on.
I remember playing the first, yes, a long time ago, and I wasn't as giddy as everything else as like most people were, but once this was re-announced, it's just DuckTales nostalgia just came brimming up through my body, and at that point, you know, everyday instances, I was just humming the DuckTales theme song. I mean, it just wouldn't stop.
Yeah, I can at least, you know, share that now.
Right, now, our listeners are probably taking out the podcast and listening to the theme song and bashing their computers trying to get it out of their heads. I mean, like I said, you could be, you know, finding enlightenment or discovering the meaning of life, but no, all you're thinking about is DuckTales.
So, Holly, have you played any eShop games beyond trying to?
Well, looking at the list...
There's a little on there.
There are quite a few. I actually kind of wanted to buy Little Inferno, but I didn't. I think I might have actually picked Mighty Switch Force HD as opposed to Little Inferno. So, I think Mighty Switch Force and Trine are the only games on there that I've gotten on my Wii U. And Mighty Switch Force, it's a pretty fun game. It doesn't have a lot of levels, so it's a pretty short game, but I don't know if you're into speedrunning.
I missed out on that sale for that one when it was up for like $5, and I don't know why I didn't buy it.
Yeah, it is basically the game of speedrunning. And what is interesting is they got the sequels out for the 3DS, isn't it? And I think they've put a trademark in for the HD version of that. But they've not spoken about it. So it does sound like we will get the second game on the Wii U at some point. But yeah, it's a unique take on the, you know, to actively pursue speedrunners as your main goal, essentially.
Yeah, I've never been a huge fan of speedrunning before, but playing this game and trying to get the par times, I'm actually quite addicted to it. You just are driven to play, you know, any given level again and again and again until you finally get that par time, which is really unusual for me.
Yeah, no, it does have that oddly addicting quality to it. Also, you mentioned Little Inferno. So that was one of these launch games back on the Wii U. I think it started with like 4 eShop games. One of them was Little Inferno. And now this is an odd game. So this was made by the guys, or at least one of the guys who made World of Goo, which launched initially on WiiWare. So I'm sure you guys have both heard of Little Inferno, but I'm not sure I've given my impressions of it before. I will speak about the insanity for a moment. So Little Inferno is a virtual fireplace simulator, and you buy items from like this catalogue you have, and you can place them in your fire, and you can set them alight. So that's the basic premise and controls to the game. The kind of game element is you have this list of combos, and now the list doesn't actually tell you what you need to put together, but it will give you... Now, it has a long time I've played this game, so I'm not sure I'm going to find any particular examples, but it will give you like a phrase. And then you have to look at your catalogue and think, what couple of items could this be to make up this phrase? And there's usually, you know, quite a funny answer when you discover what it is. But it's a game which has an oddly addictive quality as well. You know, on the face of it, it's not really much to it. It's strangely addictive. And you once you earn these combos, you eventually unlock more pages into your catalogue and you can buy more things. And the things kind of burn in different ways. Some things explode, some things kind of scream in a odd, creepy manner. Various other different things. And during kind of the play of this game, you get these letters from, from your neighbour and from someone else. And there's a lot of dark humour in this game. And there is this story going through it. And it's really bizarre. I mean, I wasn't expecting any sort of story in Little Inferno, but there is a story going through it. And eventually, I don't want to say too much, but I mean, the game's been out for quite a long time now. But at one point, the game goes beyond the fireplace. And I won't say any more than that. But the game is more than it seems. It's a tricky one to recommend because it's a fairly high price for how long you get to play the game. But if you ever see this game on a sale, I would definitely recommend you pick it up. Or just if you're in the mood for something different, I can almost guarantee you will like the experience. It's definitely a memorable experience as well. So yeah, it's the simulation fireplace, Little Inferno.
It's really good that this community of these indie titles heading up onto the eShop is getting such a warm welcome on to, you know, on the Nintendo platform right now. And, you know, if it just I feel like that's kind of been the console saving grace as the large retail titles have finally started to trickle in. I mean, it was kind of like that, well, we don't have any these bigger titles now, but, I mean, here's these eShop titles to tide you over. I mean, it wasn't enough, but, I mean, it's got to the point where you're able to, you know, kind of just enjoy the Wii U for what it is. I mean, given how we've had just a lack of software, but, I mean, aside from Virtual Console titles, I mean, these are just nice little deviations.
Yeah, certainly, and we've definitely built up this collection now. So people kind of jumping into the Wii U, they've got this, yeah, they've got this, you know, great collection of downloadable titles they can, you know, browse through and choose from, depending on their tastes and preferences. And it's good to see kind of the amount of support it's had in a relatively short amount of time. It seems the quality control about what comes on the Wii U download platforms a lot higher than what we were getting on WiiWare, because they're going for the list. There aren't really any bad games. There are, you know, there's games different particular people you could pick out, but none of them I would call is a bad game.
Well, I will say that this is a very interesting way to start the to, you know, end this, well, not end the show, but to have this show, whatever. Especially, you know, I'm glad to have Holly on here, whatever. I mean, the more the merrier that we have on this, like, program. The best English-speaking podcast that in the land, as put by Lewis.
I'm not sure who originally came up with that tagline, but it was in the metadata for the site before I turned up.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're bringing back our old taglines as well to the show. Expect a new one each week.
Yeah, we'll see on that front. But yeah, we're 20 episodes away from the big 300. Now, I can't say I've contributed that much towards that number, but that is an exciting number to hit.
Question is, will we get to it before the new year?
That's a good question. My mental arithmetic isn't that good.
We could. We could be cramming this thing out every week if we tried.
Well, we could see what happens. But yeah, I think there's definitely going to be a special episode for the big 300. Have to put some sort of plan together.
Yeah, don't expect a Nintendo games Nintendo games list, because myself, Scott, and Eugene, we went through, you know, we were at each other's teeth basically on that whole discussion, and even after that, I was exhausted.
Yeah, but we'll think of something special to put towards for the 300s. However, I think that's going to be all for tonight. If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to talk about in the next show, if you send them to us on our new address, contact@infendo.com. Okay, and that's going to be all from us tonight. Thank you again for listening to Infendo Radio.
Bye.
See you, everybody.